Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220 The Word. And what a beautiful night it seems to be starting out to be here in northeastern Ohio. In the mid-60s out there driving into the station here this evening. That's really nice, pleasant weather. It looks like it'd be good sleeping weather, but hope you don't go to sleep right away. Hope you'll stay with us until midnight tonight and maybe even join in the conversation with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. We've got a special guest with us here for the first half hour of our program tonight. We're going to have Greg Bosch with us here this evening, and he is going to be coming on here in just a few minutes, and we're going to be talking about a great Amazing Grace mission and what they do in county fairs and other venues, similar sort of venues, and we'll be talking about that here. And let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to come on the air this evening. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to be able to reach out to people. Pray that we'd be a blessing and that we could be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Lord, we do pray that we could point people to Christ. That's something that we talk about you would use to help people to see the truth of the Word of God and draw them to Christ. And also, Lord, we do pray for believers, for Christians, that maybe some of the conversation tonight you would use to help excite them about the Word of God and a desire to communicate those truths to those around them. Father, thank you again. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, we're coming to you live tonight here, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. And as soon as we get a chance, we'll be getting some of our callers on the air here tonight. And like I said, we have a special guest with us this evening. Greg Bosch is with us tonight. And Greg, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening, Greg. Welcome. Glad to have you with us tonight. And got you on tonight because starting tomorrow, you are going to be out, and people helping you, of course, are going to be out at the Medina County Fair there in Medina, Ohio. And you have a booth in the commercial building with Amazing Grace Mission. And then, of course, the following week, a week from tomorrow, you'll be starting in Cuyahoga County in one of the commercial buildings at the Cuyahoga County Fair with a again, with Amazing Grace Mission there. So I guess what most people are probably wanting to know is, what in the world's Amazing Grace Mission?
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. Amazing Grace Mission is a ministry started by John Gardner back in the 50s. He just wanted to go out in the marketplace and help people understand the gospel. And the word gospel can be confused in many religions, and we just like to make it clear that it's the death of Jesus, the burial, 3 days in the grave, and the resurrection. And I was like 30 years old before I understood the gospel. I was religious, but I had no fellowship with God or a relationship that I felt satisfied with, knowing of where I was going to spend eternity. And that was a concern to me. And it was at my workplace in Cleveland that I listened to the gospel from another worker and asked me if I knew why Jesus died on the cross. And I honestly told him no. And he explained it to me, and I started reading the scriptures after I received Jesus Christ, knowing I was a sinner, and that Jesus' atonement for my sin was his blood. And through that, I'm forgiven. And it came so clear, and I started reading the scriptures, that I put the scriptures before my religion. And in the process, God gave me a desire to share it with other people. And then I met a good brother, Brother Don Nutter, out in Norwalk, Ohio. I was transferred out there. And they had a booth at the fair. And after work, I would go to the booth and just watch them and watch them share the gospel and explain it to people. And I come to realize that most people, a good amount of people in the United States, has no understanding of the gospel. You know, we do have many, many saved people in our country, but the Amazing Grace Mission is a link between the local Baptist church and the people of the world. The mission is to proclaim the gospel. And like I said, the word gospel a lot of times is misunderstood. So the county fairs are all across America, and I got involved in this and spent hours just helping people understand what little I knew. And sharing or giving what little I knew helped others come to an understanding of the gospel. So I don't mean to talk so much.
No, but, no, that's okay.
The Lord gave me a passion for souls. And, you know, I've read scriptures like in Proverbs 11:30, where it says, he that winneth souls is wise.
Mm-hmm.
And the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And I just come across a verse recently where it says that we're to give diligence to make our, it's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. It says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, that's speaking to us believers, to give diligence to make your election or your calling and election sure. And a lot of people think it's presumptuous to think you're going to heaven. Well, you know, we found out that through the first book of John in 5:13, it states that we need...
These were written that you may know that you're going
John
to heaven.
5:13, let me read it here.
Mm-hmm.
It says that... let me read up to it. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. This is what the Word of God says. This is what
right.
we say. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then verse 13 in 1 John chapter 5, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
And that's right. And when you think about what you're doing, as I'm, you know, I think about the, you know, the town where I live, and you see people on the streets, but they're in cars. And it's kind of hard to talk to people when they're in cars, you know, just driving by.
Right.
But in the day that, you know, Peter and Paul and the apostles and the day of Christ and all that, you know, they had people congregating, walking along the sides of the roads in the roadways, and they had marketplaces where people came together. And you can see where the command to go out into the hedges and the highways and bring people in and all that that we get from some of the parables of Christ in Luke and Matthew and elsewhere, you can see where in their day it was very easy to go out where there was groups of people and to be able to speak to them. But yeah, a lot of places, you know, maybe if you live in Cleveland or Akron or something where you have a downtown area where there's a number of people that might be there congregated for various things at lunch hour or waiting for buses and all. But in a lot of places where our listeners live, you really don't have a gathering place much of people, unless you talk about something like the county fair, a flea market, community days of some sort, things like that. And that's where you go, isn't it?
Yes, Pastor Al. Like at the fair, we rent a space. It's only maybe like 10 feet square, 10 by 10. And we can, we have a sign behind us, and it says, are you 50%, 75%, or 100% sure that you're going to heaven, you're going to be with the Lord? And we cause people to stop and think, are you sure you know where you're going? I mean, Jesus came to save, he came to I'm thinking of Luke chapter 19, verse 10, where it says, for the Son of Man, and we know that's Jesus, but there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. But it says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
That's right.
And we have a sign behind us that causes people to think, are they 100% sure? And I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you there, and I like that because it does make people think, because a lot of people, and perhaps some of our listeners, are thinking, well, yeah, I'm fairly sure I'm going to heaven. After all, I'm not such a bad person. I'm not like that guy down the street that, he's always in trouble and cheating and lying and stealing, and I'm not a bad person, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to heaven. But a lot of people just aren't 100%, and you're right.
Going back to that verse in 2 Peter 1, verse 10, it says, wherefore the brethren give diligence. So that means we are to work towards understanding what God's done for us. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall.
That's right.
For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And can you imagine that? We see people passing away, and they're worried, and they're scared, they're afraid to die. And here, the scripture says, if we give diligence to make your calling and election sure, that we can expect that we will be abundant, to be ministered unto us abundantly into everlasting kingdoms. Could you imagine the angels and Jesus just welcoming us in?
That's right.
It's such a relief, not to mention to know that the offering for our sin atones and gives us forgiveness. And a lot of people carry a lot of guilt around. And we just minister to people as they go by us at the fair. And we minister in a lot of ways that helps them in ways we don't even understand, because they ask questions and we answer them. And this is not to replace any other type of witness. This is just another way to reach the lost, reach
right.
People. We have Christians and believers come by, and they thank us for being there.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I was going to say, Brother Greg, I was going to add something here to what you're saying, but I did want to ask you something real quick. Getting a little echo or something in your phone there. Are you on a speakerphone by chance? Or
no, I'm in a small room.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Picking it up. Echo.
You're in a little small cubicle. I don't know if we want to ask too much. So.
thanks for telling me.
But yeah, I just had a little echo there. I was just kind of curious there maybe about that. But one of the things talking about, you're talking about going there, and people are there, just like when you were at work, you were religious, but you never knew what the gospel was. And, you know, in Romans, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, he said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But here's the question. What if nobody goes, you know, and makes known the word of God? What if nobody tells them? If you go a little further up in that same chapter there, Romans chapter 10, in verse number 13, where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the certainty that you can have of salvation that you were talking about earlier. But it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so really, just looking at our time here, so we can get in some good information here about the mission, you're an arm of the local church. Local churches are helping you to go into these venues where people are gathered. It's like the marketplace of days gone by, where there are people there, and they need to hear. They can't call upon the name of the Lord to be saved unless they believe, and they can't believe unless they hear, and they can't hear unless somebody tells them. And that's what part of what Amazing Grace Mission is, isn't it? To tell people. And let's clear up one of the objections that people would have to a ministry like yours. And I know we've talked about it in the past, and that's the idea that you have somebody come by that's never really been exposed to the gospel. You grab them, you thump them on the head a few times with the Bible, and you make them a believer. I've been there with you, and I've actually helped out, and I'll be helping out this week at Medina County Fair and next week at Cuyahoga County Fair. But I know that's not what you do. You let the Lord lead, don't you?
Right. I'll explain the gospel. Well, we have a little smile track we hand out, and we ask if you ever got one of these. And they'll say no, and we use that. And we show them a display. And first a person, we don't force anybody. These are people that go by, they're hungry.
Right.
God has people out there that are ready to receive the Lord. And they're not going to come to our church building. They are in their religion, possibly, or not don't have one. And they're not going to be reached unless they go by a witness outside of their box.
Exactly.
Outside of their circle.
Well, and that's one of the reasons we do the radio program, too, because there are people listening that are searching, and some people may be religious, they just don't know what the gospel is, and or there are people maybe a little skeptical, and they've just not really been exposed to the truth of the gospel, and that's our job, to reach out and let the Holy Spirit do the convicting, right?
Yeah, I'm thankful to God that a man at my job took the time and asked me if I knew why Jesus died on the cross. And then when I said no, took the time to explain it to me.
Exactly.
We're not doing it for our church. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're not doing it for our glory or to see how many numbers we can get.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it for them. We're doing it for the lost.
That's right.
They need it, and we're just there to serve them.
I mean, it's really, I mean, ideally, it's good to be able to direct people into a good fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church where they can be grounded and grow, because obviously, you know, new Christians need that. But, you know, some of these people, it's maybe the first and only time you get a chance to see them and reach them with the gospel, and that's the most important thing. And then maybe somewhere where they, you know, where they're at, they may be traveling through the area, they may be from a distance from your church, and we can help them perhaps to find a church in that area. Or, you know, when they get to that area, you can get in contact perhaps with a church there or something, or the Lord can help direct them into a church. But, it's important, though, because church membership without the gospel doesn't do you any good, does it?
No. You don't become, we've heard this before, but you don't become a car by going into the garage. You know?
Right, yeah.
But you know, you asked before, you know, are we just getting numbers? The thing is, if a person never heard the gospel, they might hear it from us for the first time.
And
we don't expect them to get saved right then.
Right, and it may be that you're sowing the seed that somebody else will reap the harvest, or it may be somebody else has sowed the seed already, and they come along and they see you, and God gives you the opportunity to reap the harvest. You know, because
we're a stranger just doing what God told us to do.
Exactly. And, you know, really, I don't believe personally that many people get saved the very first time they hear the gospel. And some people would be saying, well, I know I ran into somebody and I shared the gospel with them the first time and they got saved. Well, how do you know somebody else didn't plant the seed and it hadn't been cultivated and watered and everything over time? And then the first time you saw them and gave them the gospel, they got saved. I know my own life, I grew up in a church and heard the gospel countless times before I got saved, but all of that worked until the night I got saved, you know, that seed germinated and bore fruit. And that's with, like yourself, you had been exposed to different things, but it wasn't until one man was able to, you know, bring it all together and answer some questions out of the Bible, and you know, help you to see the truth of the gospel message, that you got saved as well. So, and most people can think back and the process that God used to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and certainly Amazing Grace Mission is a tremendous opportunity to be used of God, either to plant, water, or hopefully harvest, you know, that fruit of the gospel. And that's a tremendous opportunity, isn't it?
Yes, Pastor Al. One other thing, too. I only speak to people that are interested.
Right.
We don't grab them and hold them until we let them go. We only talk to people that are interested. And if they are interested, we show them our display. And then we ask them, we would you like to know you can have eternal life? And if they say yes, we ask them if we could show them from the scriptures how they can know. And then we'll ask them to sit down at the table, and we will take them through the scriptures and show them. And it's a special thing to do that. And this helps the local church because we can observe each other leading people to Christ, to Jesus. And in our small ways, we grow ourselves by doing what God told us to do.
Oh, absolutely.
So in a way, it's a great way to build the church and then have the joy of seeing salvation occur. And we never tell them they're saved. We tell them what the Bible says.
Right.
We want them to go walk away knowing what God said, not what we said.
Well, and in some cases, it's... careful how I phrase this. Some cases, it's better that they walk away not convinced that they're saved, but rather knowing what the Bible says so that you don't send them away with a false assurance when maybe they never got saved. They just mouthed some words. And, you know, because most people who have been, you know, in the ministry or in some sort of soul winning activities have seen people that have made a profession of faith, but you find out later that they never really believed what they said. They just repeated words they were asked to repeat, and that's always right. A danger. You have to be sensitive to that, don't you?
Yes. And at the end, we have a decision card, and what we do is we get their name and their address that we can give back to the local church where they can follow up on these individuals. And we ask them to write on the back of the card in their own words what just happened. And we don't tell them what to say.
And that's so really good because then you see what they took away from what you were talking about.
Yeah. We get a feedback. It's like a little survey. And we're very careful not to put words in their mouth.
That's good, yes. I was going to say we're coming up on the bottom of our hour here, and we'll be breaking here in a few minutes. We just want to let people know that you are going to be out at the Medina County Fair. You'll be there some of the time. There's other people who are going to be there at different times. I'll be there a couple of times, probably tomorrow about 11 or so, and for a few hours, 11 to probably about 3 o'clock or thereabouts, and probably from a similar time frame on Tuesday and Wednesday. I would encourage people, if you're going to be at the summit or at the Medina County Fair next week, come by the commercial building, and while you're wandering around, look for the Amazing Grace Mission and give people a teaser. Tell them what you have on there with the three doors. We got just a couple minutes.
Yeah, we have three doors, and we ask the question, look at three things that God cannot do.
I was going to say maybe we shouldn't say the answers to that on the radio in case somebody wants to come out and find the answers, and then maybe next week we could give the answers. But three things God cannot do. I remember distinctly at the Cuyahoga County Fair a couple of years ago, one older lady went by, and oh, she was angry. She was looking at us. Remember her fire in her eyes. Yeah. My God can do anything. There's nothing he can't do. And she was up. She was defending God. And then we opened that first door, and she started laughing, and she said, "You're absolutely right." And when she looked at what was behind those doors, she loved what we were doing. And, you know, but you know what you did is you made people think, didn't you?
Right.
And you got people's attention. Brother Greg, I appreciate you being able to be on with us tonight. I know it's late. I know you got to work in the morning, and I want to thank you and ask people to pray for you. Certainly, if you can't get out to the fair and you want to be a part of this, you can pray for Brother Greg and also for the Amazing Grace Mission booth at the Medina County Fair this week, this coming week, and at Cuyahoga County Fair next week. And if you can get out to the fair, stop by, tell them, whoever's working, whether it's Greg, whether it's myself, or whether it's somebody else, tell them that you heard about the the booth there on Late Night Live with Pastor Al and ask to see what those three things are God can't do. I think you'll be surprised. And if you believe the Bible like I do, if you believe the Bible like Greg does, you'll be in total agreement. You cannot be a Bible believer and disagree with what's behind those doors. And the thing I like about it is it helps point people to Christ as their Savior. So that's a great thing. Greg, it's been great to have you with us tonight. I want to thank you again, and we'll be praying for you. Look forward to being out at the fair with you, and you just keep up the good work, and we will get some reports perhaps next week on what happened at the Cuyahoga County Fair, at the Medina County Fair, and get people to pray for the Cuyahoga County Fair. Got less than a minute left. Anything you want to say real quick in conclusion there?
Yes. A lot of times when we go to the fair, we take a friend with us.
Right.
We take somebody.
Good point.
There's one thing better than going to heaven, and that's taking somebody with you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you, if you're coming to the fair and you have a friend that doesn't totally understand the gospel, bring them by. See
that's
if they're
right.
interested.
That's right. And you know,
could
that's
be an opportunity
a good point.
For you to help somebody understand what God's done for us, how much He loved us.
That's right.
And so don't be afraid to bring somebody over that's not
right.
saved.
Well, I appreciate that, Greg. The music's coming up, and we're just about out of time for this segment here. And certainly the only thing that you can take to heaven from this world's another soul, isn't it? Greg, thanks. God bless. We'll be praying for you and look forward to seeing you at the Medina County Fair this week. Stay tuned for a second half. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We'll be on until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. We didn't give out our numbers too much last half hour. We had a guest on talking about the Medina County Fair and the Amazing Grace Mission, and I'll be out there this week several times. I'll be out there tomorrow, probably about 11 till 3, and probably Tuesday and Wednesday around similar time, 11 to 3, and so hope maybe get a chance to see you out there at the fair, and also I think I'll be out there Thursday at a similar time as well, I guess. But if you can make it, stop by. But of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. Our lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. And I'm the pastor there. Invite you to join us there. And also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road. That's State Route 82 in the center of North Royalton. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m. You can call Frank's Antiques in North Royalton at 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And let Frank know that you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, again, if you've got a question and want to give us a call tonight, we'd sure love to hear from you. And a number of things wanted to maybe touch base on a little bit here. Encourage you on Wednesday I would be remiss, I guess, if I didn't talk about the Chick-fil-A issue. And it's been on a lot of programs, I'm sure, today and yesterday and the day before. And it all started when Dan Cathy, a president of Chick-fil-A, being interviewed in, I believe it was a Southern Baptist publication initially, made a comment in the interview that talking about his Christian values and the biblical values that he has, and how he tries to live his life following the Word of God. And in the course of the conversation, he noted that he believed in the traditional definition of marriage between one man, one woman, traditional definition, marriage between a man and a woman, and he said that's what he believed. Well, of course, President Obama, 4 years ago, when he was candidate Obama, said much the same thing. The difference is, 4 years ago, when candidate Obama said that he essentially believed he was talking to Rick Warren in an interview with him when he said this, he supported traditional marriage between a man and a woman. The pro-homosexual community, special rights for homosexual community, they let that slide. They didn't say anything about it. However, when a Christian businessman, the owner of Chick-fil-A, said that that was his belief, well, you would think that he said that homosexuals should be taken to an island somewhere and shot. It's just unbelievable how upset. But kind of irony of this is that numbers of people have said, I never ate at Chick-fil-A before, but on the basis of how he is being persecuted for voicing his personal belief in this issue, I'm going to go eat at Chick-fil-A. And I've had several people just in the past few days tell me that. In fact, just at church today, one guy said, I've never ate at Chick-fil-A. Where is the Chick-fil-A? We said, well, there's one in Montrose, Ohio. He said, I'm going to go eat there just because of this. And then, of course, they've got this big thing going now nationwide push to support Chick-fil-A and support really Dan Cathy and his right to have his own freedom to believe what he wants to believe and to express his religious beliefs just like any other American has. In support of that, people are going to Chick-fil-A on Wednesday and eating. And I kind of think I might go there myself. And so it's been kind of interesting to see how this is boomeranged. Now, if you think that it's just horrible that Dan Cathy believes what the majority of the American people believe, and in fact what President Obama believed 4 years ago, or at least said that he believed 4 years ago when he was candidate Obama, that they believe in traditional marriage according to the Bible between a man and a woman, if that offends you, if that upsets you, let me give you a suggestion. Coming up Sunday, why don't you go and picket outside of Chick-fil-A on Sunday and keep people from going in and eating on this coming Sunday? I think that would be a good plan, don't you? And for those of you that know Chick-fil-A, you probably agree with me on that. Well, enough said on that, I guess. But that got me to thinking about some other things. And on our Friday program, of course, Late Night Live with Pastor Al here every Sunday night from 11 to midnight. And of course, you can give us a call toll free, 888-677-9673, and get you on the air with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. Love to hear from you. But you can also call 888-677-9673 on Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 o'clock right here, because we have Live with Pastor Al on Friday afternoons. We do the same thing. Well, last Friday, I mentioned in the afternoon program a little scale that I got a hold of, a copy of, and I wrote it down here. This is the Riddle Homophobia Scale, and this is actually used in the public schools, and it's got 8 steps in it, and I've got this out here for a reason, tied in with some other things related to this. And I heard several people on the radio saying, you know, what they thought was pretty tolerant, accepting attitudes in regards to the homosexual movement. And while at the same time, you know, trying to have it both ways, trying to allow Chick-fil-A's owner, or president rather, Dan Cathy, to be allowed his religious beliefs, and at the same time, people who disagree should be allowed their beliefs as well. And the scale is divided into 2 parts. The first part is the homophobic side. The second part is the positive side. And so the homophobic side, the first, the lowest on the scale is repulsion. You're repulsed by homosexuals. The second on there, just one step up from being repulsed, is to pity them. And then if you merely tolerate them, you're still homophobic. In fact, you're pretty much right in the middle of the homophobic scale. And then if you say, well, I not only tolerate them, I accept that they are what they are, and I accept their rights to be that way. Well, guess what? According to the Riddle scale, which is used in public schools across America, this is not something come out by Independent Fundamental Baptist somewhere. This came out, Dr. Dorothy Riddle is who it's named after. It's distributed by various homosexual rights groups, and it's used in public schools. And if you're accepting of homosexuals, guess what? You're still a homophobe. According to the scale, you're mildly homophobic. You do not cease to be a homophobe until you reach step 5, which is giving support to the homosexual movement. And then that's only mildly positive. You're only one small step above a homophobe if you support the homosexual movement. You know, to make it higher up the scale, you have to admire them. That's number 6, admiration. And then if you want to really be positive, you have to appreciate them. That's number 7. And the top of the scale is to nurture them. And so if you're not supportive, admiring, appreciative, and nurturing of them, you're a homophobe. If you think that being tolerant and accepting of them is okay, according to the homosexual rights movement, you are, according to the Riddle scale, a homophobe. And now, let me take that to over here, and I was going to look at something else here that I had seen, and talking about a study that was done. There's a number of studies that have been done over the years that have indicated that the life expectancy of a man at age 20, okay, 20-year-old man, is 20 years, as much as 20 years or so shorter if they're homosexual than if they're heterosexual. Actually, if they're homosexual or bisexual, studies have shown, looking at death rates, looking at the things of that nature, that on average, well, here's a Vancouver study, for instance, that shows that the life expectancy for gay and bisexual men at age 20 is 8 to 20 years less than for all men, actually, in general. In other words, if the life expectancy of men is, say, 76 for all men taken as a whole, then for someone who is homosexual or bisexual, their life expectancy may be as little as, say, 56. And you say, well, that's a homophobic statement. No, that's a statement of scientific studies that have done that. You can Google this information. You can find some of it. And without getting into all the details, it's interesting that the people that that came out with this one study initially began to hear that people were reporting their findings. And so we have this study that was reported in the International Journal of Epidemiology. And this was published initially. The study was done in Vancouver in the late 1980s, early 1990s. And they said from these reports, and this is from a report that was actually done by people who were very supportive of the homosexual community for the most part, and they said that their research suggests that, well, let me just read it here. In our paper, we demonstrated that in a major Canadian center, life expectancy at age 20 years for gay and bisexual men is 8 to 21 years less than for all men. If the same pattern of mortality continued, we estimated that nearly half of gay and bisexual men currently aged 20 years would not reach their 65th birthday. Even under the most liberal assumptions, gay and bisexual men in this urban center were experiencing a life expectancy similar to that experienced by men in Canada in the year 1871. Now, that's an interesting statement there. And they reinforced this finding in this paper here that they put out recently because they heard, let me go to the paragraph before that. They wrote this: over the past few months, we've learned of a number of reports regarding the paper paper we published in the International Journal of Epidemiology on the gay and bisexual life expectancy in Vancouver in the late 1980s, early 1990s. From these reports, it suggests that our research is being used by select groups in U.S. and Finland to suggest that gay and bisexual men live an unhealthy lifestyle that is destructive to themselves and to others. And then they say this: these homophobic groups appear more interested in restricting the human rights of gay and bisexuals rather than promoting their health and well-being. And then they, in the next paragraph, they repeat the information that I just read, that their paper said that they live 8 to 21 years less than other men. Well, okay, why is that? And when somebody suggests it might be because of their lifestyle, they say, oh, no, you're being homophobic. And that's not what we meant at all. And we need to understand that, as they say, death is a product of a way a person lives and what physical and environmental hazards he or she faces every day. It cannot be solely attributed solely to their sexual orientation or other ethnic or social factor. Well, what if we rephrase this and said that this was a study about smokers? Would they still say the same thing? Oh, that's not what we meant at all. You can't say that just because somebody who smokes dies earlier than somebody who doesn't, smoking has nothing to do with that. Well, that's what they're saying here. We produced a study that shows that homosexual and bisexual men die earlier on average than other men. And for you to suggest that it's because of their lifestyle, their homosexual lifestyle, well, you're just a homophobe. You can't say that. So I guess I would have to say that if somebody smokes and somebody tells them their life is going to be shorter because they smoke, they must be a smokophobe, I guess it is. That's right. They're just smokophobes. And these studies are done to find indications of why some people live longer than other as groups. Obviously, individuals, it's not going to be the same for every individual. You're going to find individuals in these groups. You find people who smoke all their life and they never get cancer of any kind. And you find somebody that never smoked and they die of lung cancer. So obviously there's exceptions in every group. You find people who live a homosexual lifestyle and they seem to live a long life. And you find others that die at an early age. And, of course, if it's smoking, we can be free to say it must be because they're smoking. But if it's homosexual practices, oh, you can't suggest that. Even though there's a great number of diseases that are passed, AIDS, for instance, is very commonly passed about in those groups, and that contributes to some of the lesser life expectancy, but it's not just that. There are other diseases, hepatitis, and things of that nature. And we see these studies, and I think with Obamacare coming in, perhaps they'd be afraid to have these studies out there too much because one of the prime groups that Obama is appealing to lately in his reelection campaign might not like it to get out that people who follow their lifestyle have a shorter life expectancy than people that don't. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I've been talking here for a bit. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here. And, the Bible condemns homosexual practice as an abomination, and there's a reason for it. And one of the reasons is the shortened life expectancy. But the other reason, and this is just a thought here too, I've always wondered this: if two men who claim they're not attracted to women are in a relationship together, why is it that oftentimes one is masculine and one is feminine in a relationship? And two women that claim they're not attracted to men, oftentimes, I know there's exceptions, that one of the women is more masculine and one's more feminine. You would think that in the two men, both of them would be as masculine as possible. And in the two women, they'd both be as feminine as possible. Now, of course, if you don't like what I'm saying, in fact, if it repulses you, I would have to put you on the Christophobic scale as at the lowest rung, the worst Christophobe out there. If you have pity for my beliefs, then of course you're not quite at the bottom of the scale, but you're still a Christophobe. And if you're willing to say, well, okay, we do have free speech, I'll tolerate it, well, you're still a Christophobe. If you accept that I have the belief, but you don't endorse it, you're still a Christophobe. You got to support me before you'll be getting into the positive category. All I'm doing is using the official Riddle homophobia scale, only changing what it's rating from homophobia to Christophobia. And I guess if you want to support me, you could send me some money, but that's another story. But that's a whole nother thing. Well, we've got a caller here. We've got Barb in West Virginia. And Barb, are you there on the line with us tonight?
I am here.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Glad to have you.
I'm taking a master's degree course in criminal justice, and I'm studying statistics.
Right.
And I find it really quite wonderful that you're explaining this, because it's really eye-opening. And I think if a person would study the outcome of their behavior, they might think twice before, they continued on with their behavior.
Oh, obviously.
I would have known that I was a smoker, and I'm suffering from my smoking, but they came too late to tell me, you know. It was way after the fact. But they do tell me I have a good heart, brother.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with my heart,
good.
So that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, I got the smoker's thing now, but I've just done it to myself. If I would have known mm-hmm. the statistics and they would have told me 20 years ago what they know now,
mm-hmm.
you know, I maybe wouldn't have even started.
Yeah, well, the ironic thing with smoking, at one time smoking was promoted as a healthful habit. I've never smoked myself, and I'm glad I never had to quit, because I've got plenty of family members that have tried to quit. But I know from hearing other people talking about it that a lot of the problems really come in some of the additives and stuff that they have today, the papers and things like that. Is quite a bit different.
It's awful. I mean, it's
yeah. And the various
it's a terrible,
chemicals
terrible
added,
habit, terrible but, thing to quit, and but it's you know, I mean, it's like I said, I'm like 66,
mm-hmm.
so when I started, they didn't have all the information they have now,
and
just
it's
like food and mm-hmm. what you eat, the things that you eat now. 20 years ago would have helped me a lot. I was 200 pounds, and I've lost, I'm down to 146 now.
Oh, good. Good.
And even if I quit smoking, it's still not going to really change anything as far as that goes.
But you're not doing further, you know, damage in that respect. And we're just coming down to the last few minutes here, Barb. And I was going to add to what you're saying. And you would probably share this from just what you're saying. I picked up on this. It would have been easier if you hadn't started in the first place. But unfortunately, let's take this over to the subject of sin, you know, in general. A lot of sin, it gets a hold of you subtly, doesn't it? And you don't see the damage that it's doing to your heart, really. I'm talking heart spiritually here, until oftentimes it's too late. And you know, it would have been much better had, you know, Adam and Eve never disobeyed God. But unfortunately, they did, and we're in the mess that we're in today now, aren't we? So
the Holy Spirit within the person. When they're doing fleshly things that are wrong, that's just my opinion. But
yeah,
because I know I'm saved in that. But I just one would call one something a sin.
Yeah. And a lot of sins, it's not until, I mean, you might do something once accidentally. But it's when you do it the next time and the next time, and then it becomes a habit, doesn't it? Barb, we're out of time. Got less than a minute left. I appreciate your call and certainly appreciate your testimony there. And again, I want to remind people to check us out at the Medina County Fair, the Amazing Grace Mission booth in the commercial building. And I'll be there probably Monday, Tuesday, possibly Wednesday and Thursday, probably around 11 till 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Hope we get a chance to meet you there. And also the Cuyahoga County Fair the following week. And I'll be there too, probably similar times. And if you can't make it, pray for us. Pray for the opportunity to reach people with the gospel there. Appreciate you being with us tonight. Join us Friday for Live with Pastor Al. And tune in again next week. Good night. God bless, and eat some Chick-fil-A Wednesday.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.